can if you know what you're doing.
Exactly.
But stocks, people will say, right now, as of this recording, and I don't want to get political, I don't want to get timely on this.
Oh, I should leave.
Hey, everyone.
Hi, everybody. I was saying hi to the dog.
You were. Honestly. And hi to everybody else. Welcome to Travel Insiders, ladies and gentlemen.
Mm-hmm. What's up with that?
I don't know. We're going to talk about some fun stuff today, some cool shit today.
Meats and potatoes?
No. Anyway.
Let me fix that.
What's the dinging? How are you today?
Good. You?
Good. All right. Yeah. There we go.
Yeah.
We're both kind of wearing blue today, I guess, or something.
Blue has always been my jam.
There you go. Me too, I think. I don't know.
It has.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like.
I have a lot of blue.
Always, I do too.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Like we've had this conversation.
We have the same color scheme.
Over the years. Well, I think we have similar skin tones too, so I think we look better in similar colors.
I don't know. I've never been one of those color guys.
Salmon.
I think people like that. I think there's just colors you like because you like them, but it turns out you like them because you look better in them. Yeah, you know, I don't put a bright orange shirt on or like a lime green is not my best.
Blue. I mean, we both have blue eyes, so that obviously complements your eyes. And you know, I don't know. I just think blue is our thing.
It's our jam. That's the jam. All right. So now people know if they see us both in blue a lot, because we're going. Yeah, I'm gonna be on camera, so I gotta wear blue or some shit.
You don't plan it.
No, I really don't.
He plans more than I plan, trust me.
I do. I plan a lot of the setup of stuff. So, hey, today we're going to talk about episode 76.
I care more about wrinkles.
Yeah, I don't care about wrinkles. Unordinary income investing. Now,
unordinary. Yep,
I want to give credit to my friend that I talked to when we first started about a year ago. I talked to a guy who's an investor, and he wanted to do this episode with us.
Yeah.
And we just have not been able to sync up. And now things are a little different. We're just doing these kind of without any live call-ins. We're going to be skipping the two, by the way, live call-in episodes. So we're going to be moving past the ones. We're not going to be re-recording live episodes, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. It was a good concept, but I think I was going to do that more often than we end up doing. And it was okay, but it's hard to, you know, to know where things were going. And I actually felt like I had an agenda. And while the live episodes are fun, they don't always go where
I'm... They're stressful.
Well, yeah, because you never know what someone's going to throw out at you. But it's more about, I wanted to have episodes that
Mark's
I felt...
a control.
A little bit. Yeah. Shocker. But I wanted to have episodes that I wanted to have the content so that we were making sure we were covering things. And some of those live episodes were kind of like, we've either covered it or we weren't going to, or who knows what. But unordinary income investing. Now, the biggest part about this episode...
Bitcoin!
The biggest thing here is that I want people to recognize that travelers do and should have unordinary income. And if we're missing that boat, then you guys got to go.
Why don't you define what you mean by unordinary?
I was gonna. Shocker, right? But here's what I'm saying. If you're not making great money, mm-hmm. If this is your first episode you're listening to, rewind and go back and start from the beginning. I implore you to do that. Please, 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 please do that. Because mm-hmm. you guys... I think most travelers don't recognize the fact that they make a ton of money compared to the average U.S. citizen.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the industry is rampant with that, right? So I got some
average
stats.
U.S. citizen. Yeah. Okay.
Well, I'll put it this way: in 2019 U.S. Census, the
Are you
average
kidding?
I know it. The average median income, $35,977, $36,000 in 2019, which is just a couple years ago. That's it. Yeah, I mean, that's the average amount of income that the average U.S. citizen, according to the U.S. Census, makes.
I got a whole lot going on in my brain right there.
I understand.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, hi. Okay, hello.
And there she is.
Yeah.
What's up, kid?
Hi, buddy.
Just thought she'd say, that's not a buddy, it's a budette.
She's a buddy.
She is kind of a buddy.
Buddies.
She is a buddy. She's a licker.
I know.
Sometimes. All right. Okay. So a couple more statistics.
Yeah.
Bachelor degree. People with bachelor degree, their average, I'm sorry, the median income in 2019 for someone with a four-year bachelor's degree, $64,304.
Okay.
Master's degree, $78,222. Doctorate degree, $91,604. Mm-hmm. Now, you know I kind of tend to keep track of stuff, right?
Yeah. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. Make some comments.
No. I just have to stop this. I was in the middle of an argument with my two daughters.
Oh, God.
My older.
Did I just prove your point or prove their point?
No, it's people think that they have these advanced degrees, and so they, therefore, their points are more important or way heavier on something.
Right.
So I have my oldest daughter who makes a shit ton of money mm-hmm. with a bachelor's degree.
Yep.
And then I have a middle daughter who has a master's degree. Who makes probably $40,000 a year.
And but she's pissed about it?
They love to throw out. Well, I have a master's degree, so therefore I know more. So they get into this whole fight
right.
where my oldest is like, yeah, but I have more experience. And the middle one's like, yeah, but I have a master's degree. And just like, you guys, stop. Like, really?
Right.
I mean, ugh.
Where I was going to go with this is
I
keep track of a lot of stats. I have for a long time.
Yeah.
And we even did a series on this. And I know this is really pretty accurate. I can't say for the average traveler, but I always looked forward to, and I could see them. I was privy to them. I never shared them, but I could start to see when people that have been working with our company, travelers I'm talking about, would hit that six-figure income. Some would do it surprisingly early in the year.
Yep.
You know, it depends upon, again, and we have episode coming up, which what I've done is I've taken each one of our mini series and made them into an episode. Right. We had a we had a pretty decent 5 or 6 part series that was how to make six figures as a traveler.
Yep.
And it was real. And it was years and years ago.
I would hope it was real.
No, I'm saying that the possibilities were, right? Nowadays, people are like, oh, of course. Well, get ready. Those days are coming again. You actually have to plan and work hard to make 6 figures, but everybody can do it. Most people can do it. There are some specialties that are limited based upon pay rates. I get it. Not every person that travels is paid equally.
Right.
But the average traveler that we had made 6 figures with our company. And a little bit has to do with our margins and how much money we paid people. Mm-hmm. So I'm always going to tell you that that's an important aspect. Always look for the company that pays the most.
Yep.
And then there was a lot of other things. Again, we're going to be doing that series that's coming up, but we do have, I'm sorry, not series, we're doing the episode. We're going to kind of put it all together. Mm-hmm. But there is a series that we're going to be starting to show, and you can see it on our YouTube page. It's not out there yet, but it will be soon because we're putting all those on there slowly to give it content.
Right.
But this is a real thing. I mean, so I just got to mention the average doctorate degree in the United States is 91,000. An average traveler should be making 6 figures. Now, lately it's been a lot higher than that, but I don't think that's really a real thing. But we're getting back to the point now where if you're a Traveler Insiders trained traveler, mm-hmm. you should be making 6 figures, which means there's income there that you should be planning for.
A bachelor's degree, you could make $100,000.
There is income there, correct, that is unordinary when it comes to, and I'm just saying, an ordinary person in the U.S., the average guy or gal in the U.S.
I had a constitutional law teacher used to always say a BS is bullshit, master's degree is more shit, and a PhD is piled high deep.
That's pretty good, actually.
It's just like stuck with me. Like, just keep throwing your money away at those colleges.
But where I'm going with this is that
you just rushed me along.
Well, I'm not rushing. I just want to get. I want to stay focused on
you
this.
Want to get off degrees.
Well, I want you. I want to focus on ordinary.
No, you're absolutely right. So, I mean, legit, with a bachelor's degree as a traveler, you could make well over $100,000.
Well, what I'm getting at is that if you're traveling, you should have what's considered unordinary income. And unusual income. It is.
I don't know what you mean by unordinary, though.
Okay, so that's the term that my friend used. That means that you have investment possibilities. You are making more money than you actually should be spending.
Okay, so you have and expendable money.
What's wild about What's wild about our industry is I don't know what it is about travelers, mm-hmm. but as much as they seem to make, there is a tendency for them to spend it. Mm-hmm. I mean, 21 years.
Yeah, no, I don't know why it is. You guys make a shit ton of money, but you're broke half the time.
Not all of them, but a surprising number of people in that travel.
Yeah.
I don't know what there has to be something that lends itself to that, whether it's the unknown and they don't.
I think it's a lack of planning. I just think it's an American
or just lack of gainfully being employed. Yeah. There's a lot of there could be things there, and I'm not trying to judge. I'm just saying that you guys should recognize it. And this episode is really about how to take what should be some extra income mm-hmm. and really invest in yourself. I mean, again, I get you guys are doing this to make the money. I get you. A lot of you guys are. A lot of you guys aren't, but most of you or many of you are doing this to make money. What are you doing with it?
Well, I think that's a great point because a lot of travelers will say, okay, I make $2,000 a week, put $1,000 in my checking account, put $1,000 in my savings account. And what you really are missing is the fact that $1,000 in your savings account every week, if all you're doing is leaving it in a savings account, you're really doing yourself an injustice. And that's when you should go out and find unordinary ways to save your money and make your money grow.
Yeah, but that's better than what a lot of people doing that and actually putting $1,000 into a low interest savings account or a zero interest savings account, in my opinion, is better than nothing.
Oh, of course.
So let's start, as we always do, let's qualify one thing.
Start at the beginning.
Let's say, first and foremost, we are not financial experts. I do not have a Series 7 license. I do not have any kind of investment portfolio license that allows me to talk or give advice, nor you, to anybody. So this is, again, it's opinion.
Yeah.
And I really am hoping that we're going to cause some people to really think about the way you guys spend your money that you work so damn hard for.
Yep.
And I don't care if you're at the end of your career or at the very beginning.
Yep.
Please hear me on this.
Yeah.
Start now.
Right.
It's not too late. It's not too early. Start right flipping now.
Right.
With figuring out a way to do something. And we're going to talk about some plans that I like this kind of stuff. You like this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
We both like ways of making yourself financially stronger. And little things, ladies and gentlemen, that in this world make huge differences. And that's what I think people get scared of.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't have, you know, $100,000 in the bank that I can go and do stuff with. You don't need that.
You don't.
The wonderful thing about our economy and our culture in America is that you have the ability,
at least right now,
to be able to... God, you just can't resist, can you? You have the ability to be able to take something. We all do, whether it's you're cutting back or you're earning or working harder to make more.
Here's a good example. This is a good example. You'll appreciate this.
Okay.
My 20-year-old is a bartender server at a little local restaurant. She makes a lot of good money.
She does.
But she has, for the last 3 years, saved all of the coins that she gets.
Really?
Yeah. And she was shocked the other day because she took it to the bank and she had almost $500 in coins.
Oh, I thought it'd be a lot more than that.
No, I mean,
because people don't
move in cash anymore. But
if that was back when I was bartending, myself through school doing that, it would have been thousands.
Okay, now, on the other hand, she also has a box with like $5,000 in it. And I'm like, you need to go to the bank.
Yeah,
but anyway,
that's crazy.
I mean, just little things like that add up.
Well, we're going to talk about this in a minute. But I guess the first part of this episode, I really want to concentrate on you guys have this. You guys have this money.
Yep.
I don't care if it's that you found a great paying assignment or you're able to maybe work some overtime. Again, none of this stuff, as we always said in this episode, our world, the Travel Insiders Train Travelers, nothing is free, which means if you're making money, there's reasons behind it. Either you're, and I know this, you're either sacrificing location or quality of assignment or the hellhole you're working in or the weather is crappy or shitty or you're busting your ass to get a fourth or maybe even a fifth shift that week. It is not free. So don't ever mistake me saying this is coming easy. I know it's not coming easy. It's coming hard. You had to really work hard to get the assignment, pick and choose the company you wanted, decide what makes sense. You had to look at your cost of living in that town to make sure you're making a good decision, that you just weren't talking about chasing gross dollars and realize the economy was so high you're going to spend it all on housing.
Yeah.
You're earning every penny of this. But I'm telling you guys, and we're going to talk about this, there is money available for you to begin this week. on putting some aside some money, and you'll be amazed at how fast this is going to turn into the ability for you to take that money and actually make more money with it.
Yep.
I think one of the craziest things in our economy, or our culture, in our world, is that people look at people with wealth and they all say, yeah, well, those people make money because they have it.
No.
They make money because they don't spend it. And they.
My father-in-law is a perfect example of that. I mean, he was a firefighter and, you know, they weren't paid really very well.
Not bad, though.
but he had a solid, well, I mean, he worked 3 days a week and then he went out and found another job. So he would like deliver food and sure. I mean, he would just do all kinds of stuff and raise 4 kids by himself. So, you know, he was definitely a penny saver.
And now he has.
And he's still a penny saver.
But he doesn't.
No, he's got two.
That aspect of his life is very well.
Yes.
Provided for.
Oh my God,
right?
Yes. But to this day, he will drive 20 miles to go get salmon on sale.
And spend more money on gas.
Anyway. Yes. Just like how he thinks.
Right.
But that's you're exactly right.
Yeah.
They know how to save their money and where to spend it.
Well, we're approaching that area. And I think everyone that kind of, I'm talking about over this episode,
sure.
Everybody out there can kind of hear where we're going. And again, I want everyone to just take a deep breath for a second that's listening to us and say, is there something that I have available every week that I could be holding on to and not spending, not having to pay my bills or mm-hmm. something with? Could I cut back on the quality of my housing on my assignment? Could I have looked for a higher paying assignment that maybe was further away from my comfort level of home? Could I have taken something that was a little out of where I really wanted to be for myself?
Could I not have spent $500 on a purse because I had it?
Correct.
Yeah.
Could I figure out how to make healthy, you know, good meals instead of having to go out and eat in the cafeteria or something that's expensive? But fast food, by the way, is insanely expensive.
Unless you get off the dollar.
Horrible for you.
Which only adds to your healthcare costs.
Exactly.
The worse you eat.
So a couple things. I did some quick tips and I checked some things out that a lot of the experts will say that will help you to not overspend. So I'm talking about those people right now, and you're out there, and I love you guys. And know that
yeah,
I do.
You know who you are.
But some of you guys literally do spend every check, every penny of every check. And here's some tips that I researched and found that help people to not do that.
Yep.
Number one, almost on everybody's list, was get rid of your overdraft protection on your checking account, which sounds like counterproductive.
I don't know why people have that.
Because they give it to you for free.
Well, they do. But to me, it's just a way to make bankers millionaires.
It is. But what happens to people is that you stop looking at what you actually have in your account.
Well, you're living beyond your means. You're being nice.
Well, I'm saying is that you don't care. You know what, you have a general idea of what you're making every week because you're a traveler.
Yeah.
And you're spending as if it doesn't matter. And if you go over, that's what, it's a couple more days and I'll have another direct deposit again.
Yeah.
One of the biggest tips people say is make that hurt.
Yes.
And stop being able to live on your bank's money.
Live on $10 for 2 days.
If you had a week where you were sick and you only worked 2 shifts, or, you know, God forbid you were canceled.
Yep.
And you only got 24 hours in on a 36-hour normal work week. Guess what? You better cut back that week.
Yep.
And do it. It's, by the way, it's mentally good for you too.
I do this at home. We do this monthly where I do not go to the store for 2 weeks, and we eat what is in the freezer and what is in the pantry, and we get really clever and we get really creative.
That's kind of fun. It's kind of cool.
It is fun. Yeah, it's kinda cool. Taught me a lot about. It's given me a lot of, because my husband's really good at that and like opening the drawer. And be like,
I always go back to times like this when my wife and I were sold our first house in a day.
Yeah.
We place looked great and we did a good job in the landscaping and everything else. And our house sold in a day, which means the people that we were buying a house and they wanted almost like 9 months.
Yes.
And we were like, we had to move into a place. And then we said, okay, we really wanted to make our payment low.
Right.
So we had a goal of what we wanted to put down payment on the new house, which was a big step up for us. And it had to do with what did we make on our current house.
Sure.
And then we had a lofty goal, which means it was really that, like, we didn't do anything.
Yeah.
We didn't go out to eat once in life for like 9 months.
Yeah.
The kids, you know, we thank God we had already had a library of VHS and DVD tapes. And yes, there were VHS back then.
They were.
And, you know, we lived in this little townhouse, you know, that all of our shit was down the basement that was open and it was horrible. But we did it. We survived and we made that goal. And it was, we're really proud of that moment. My wife and I are, and we always will be in the rest of our life because it was like, we can do about anything.
You know, it makes you feel good.
You can cut back and realize that you can eat peanut butter and jelly sandwiches because I probably would eat those back then.
Mac and cheese or whatever. Well, I'm watching my oldest kind of go through this right now because she's moving. She's going to Mexico and then Hawaii, and she comes back 2 days, and then they're moving literally to Arizona. And so she's, every day I see her on Venmo, she's selling some piece of furniture, some carpet, some. Now she's like, I got to get rid of this food in my pantry.
There you go.
Because she has all this food.
Right.
I'm like, just eat it.
All right. So there's a lot of things you can do. Number two is that you mentioned savings account, which is great. But one of the biggest tips is have it at a different bank.
Yeah.
So you cannot transfer and get into trouble and go, well, I'll just pull a couple $100 out of my savings. So open up a savings account.
Yeah.
And let me finish this whole thing. Open up a savings account at a different bank.
Yeah.
And I would absolutely recommend, and we're going to talk about this a little bit further down the road here as we get in this episode, but there are things I want you to do with this savings account when it comes to your paycheck and things like that.
So, yes, having a savings account separate from your bank account, meaning a different installation.
Yeah.
What I would add to that is, so what we do is we have an account that rounds up and automatically puts money into a savings account with everything we spend.
Yeah.
It rounds it up and, you know, and then it goes into the savings account.
Right.
And then every month we transfer that savings account into a different account at a different installation.
Right. The idea is that as a traveler, you kind of want to have something that's not so easy to transfer your money to, because that's, you know, you're trying to get away from that. You're trying to forget about it.
Yep.
And we've said this on some other episodes we've done, I think last year, that the idea is that you got to start savings. And I'm just trying to help some people that, I mean, if some of you just don't need it. I just know how to save. I'm just going to do it. And you're great. This is for the people that struggle. And we said just a few seconds ago, this is for the people that really struggle with not spending every penny of their paycheck.
Yep.
Some people just like that. You work your butt off and work overtime. You get extra jingle in your pocket and you're instantly going out and buying something that you don't need, whatever, right? So the idea of having it at a different account does keep it less convenient for you.
Yeah.
That's the idea. Yeah. One of the things that a lot of people said, there was some that were crazy advice, like when you spend your money, freeze your credit card in a block of ice and put it in your freezer and don't take it out till your week's over. Really, like they said things that work, really bizarre things.
Yeah.
But one of the ones was this one where it says, get rid of your having your card on file with all the online purchases of your favorite store or, you know, theoretically like an Amazon type place where it's super easy just to go ahead and just
buy it.
Yeah, you're laying in bed or you're sitting in there watching TV and all of a sudden like, hey, I think I need another workout shorts, right? Or some more tennis shoes.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Or some sweat capris.
Whatever they are, right? Right. Or I think I need another set of power blocks. So it keeps you from like making dumb decisions that are spur of the moment. You know, for those of you that like shop, if you have your favorite like things where you shop, your purse you were talking about.
Yeah.
Don't have that on file.
A lot of women are like purse hounds. I'm not. What I will tell you was very eye-opening. We recently switched to a streaming service for TV.
Mm-hmm.
And with the streaming service came already with it the Disney Plus, the Roku, Netflix. And so we were adding up how much money we were spending monthly on these things. Yeah. And it was insane. We were spending close to $100 on just random streaming places. And I'm like, this is, like, how did this happen? How did we get here? Because you don't pay attention to it. And it's just like, oh, $6 a month. Oh, $8 a month.
Well, this particular example is really talking about the things you like to buy.
Yeah. Make it hard.
Don't make it so convenient for you just to be able to go, I think it's time for, you know, whatever. And, you know, the example was, things like clothing stores and places like Amazon where, you know, it's one thing to have things that you have to get. And I do like the savings on the, you know, the recurring items that you know, whether it's, I don't care if it's soap, or dishwasher detergent or whatever it is. But it's when you can just go in and say, hey, I think I do need a new pair of shoes or I want, you know, whatever it is, make it less convenient for you. make it less convenient for yourself,
yes,
right?
Yes, very much so.
And then lastly on this note, the real idea here is, and all companies, if you're working for a company that has any substantiability to it at all, they allow you to do some different kind of payroll options. And one of the things I would say is that you should tell your agency that you should have a set amount going into your checking account that you need, and give yourself some ability to be able to go out and do some things. Have it be what you want to live on for the next 13 weeks every week. Anything above and beyond that, any percentage, you could have that be a lump sum, and anything extra goes into the savings account, which means that if you do work in overtime, you're not going to notice it. If you've got your whatever it is, let's just say you got $1,500 going into your checking account every week, and anything above and beyond that goes into your savings. If you work and you make a really great week, or if it's a holiday or whatever case may be, it goes in there, and you got to forget about it, because it will add up really quickly. The thing that that I wanted to kind of bring back around is that we talked a lot about this emergency fund, and it's a relatively new concept that you and I kind of just, it's one of those.
It's not a new concept. It's just something that's not been in our.
No, we haven't really thought about it. And I really like that we've kind of introduced that into part of the repertoire of being a really good traveler. Yeah. So most people, the experts will tell you that you should have 3 months minimum of emergency funds to cover all of your expenses.
Yeah.
Now, as a traveler, I think that has to, well, I think you need to incorporate everything.
Exactly.
It's not only all of your bills and your car payments and things you have to do, but it's also about being able to, you know, potentially pay for an apartment or Airbnb for that long. Now, that seems like a daunting number, and it could very well be. But one of the goals you should have before we go into anything else we're talking about should be that you get to a point where you can at least make sure that you can go 3 months without having to have an opportunity,
right,
a job.
Yep.
You and I know travelers that in the last year have struggled with, you know, the different specialties that have been not as plentiful, or the rates, and some of them have really struggled to get an assignment every single time. We're talking about good travelers, right?
Or just even the length of time in between assignments, like just trying to get credentialed.
Yeah.
A particular person pointed out to me the other day that just the amount of time this year, her income year, I think she's lost close to 6 weeks of income.
The in-between assignment stuff.
Yeah.
To no fault of her own.
No, just like credentialing nightmares and that kind of stuff. And that's a hit.
Yeah, absolutely. It's big, because probably at least four
that's
of those would have,
quarter.
You know, maybe two of them would have been like vacation weeks, but four of them probably wouldn't have been.
No.
So have that before we go into anything else we're going to talk about. Now we're talking about investment here, and that's where we want to get into the you know, more of the episode. Advice would be, the idea here, the reason I came up with that figure that you're looking at is that I'm trying to help people get to a point where they have $10,000 in extra, unordinary income.
Yeah, it's not as big of an elephant as it feels like.
No, that's why I wanted to break it down to that sort of thing. Yeah, that's why I wanted to break it down. Again, this is after you've got, I mean, again, this could take you a while, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
You got to have this emergency fund. If you already have it, great. Now I want to teach you how to, the idea should be, I want you to start thinking about having $10,000 that you could do something with, not emergency fund, not sitting in the bank, but $10,000. The first thing before we go into that is you got to make sure that you've paid yourself. In other words, we're going to talk a little bit about paying down debt and all those sorts of things. All this stuff is part of it. And you guys can do this step by step. Maybe you're not ready to have $10,000. It doesn't make sense to save $10,000 if you have an incredibly high interest credit card that has a full balance on it.
No.
Or if you maybe refinanced your home or whatever, and you've got a ridiculously high interest rate right now because you did it bad timing, you should go back and look at refinancing and do something, getting a low rate, get your rates down lower. So we're making an assumption that all that stuff is true.
Right.
What I put down here is, in order to have $10,000, what you're talking about is taking a gross of $192.31 a week of paid compensation. That times 52 weeks gives you $10,000 at the end of the year, which would mean in 1 year's time, if you just took less than $200 a week and put it aside, you'd have 10 grand to invest in yourself. And that's when your money starts working for you, as
that's
opposed to you working for money.
$10,000? $192. I'm thinking, two bottles of wine and
I mean, go out to a chain restaurant. Like, I don't want to give any plugs, but you know, one of the places that's available, and do that four times in 1 week, you're just going to spend $200.
Oh,
I mean, that's what I'm saying. $192. If you were able to say, I want $100, just for those of you that can't, that are really maybe you're not in an income level, you're a traveler that doesn't have the higher level income.
Right.
That's fine. Or maybe you just have chosen assignments that make you happy and you're not really a money chaser. You still could carve out $192 and put it into a savings account. $192 of net money, not gross. I mean, the real money.
This reminds me of what is that? I remember learning about it and I recently saw it. It's like the rule of seven. Like you save $7, then you save another seven, and then it multiplies.
You're asking me like you're saying this like you're asking me like I know this, so I don't. Yeah, so you can't really.
I know you do. I'm just not explaining it well, but that's what this reminds me of.
I want to get people there.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you that you get some of you may not be at that point, but a year from listening to this, you could be. If you talk to your company right now and today you call them and say, "I want to for this Friday's check, I want this amount to go into a savings account that you're going to go open up in a different bank."
Yeah.
A year from now, you won't even know it's there, and you forget about it. You'll have 10 grand. You'll have $10,000 of discretionary income that you can do something with.
Yeah.
And I've got some ideas for you. Lo and behold, of
Let's
some things you
it.
Can do. Again, just opinion.
Yeah.
No real necessary order.
Okay.
But I did take what you and I know and what we've already talked about. This is both you and I from previous from our stuff we've done and things you and I have talked about. I also went through and did some research and found out what some experts say for, you know, this day and age of what some good things are. And one of the most common things is this, you know, a robo-advisor investment type strategy.
Those are mostly apps.
They are.
Yeah.
You know, you hear some of them get bad reps, you know, but you can very affordably do some investing. And it doesn't, we're not talking about necessary stocks, we're not talking about, you can invest small itty bits amount of money in incredibly safe and interest earning potentials that you almost have no chance of losing. I don't want to say it like that because that's bad advice. I'm not giving advice. But these are, it's fun, it's super easy, it's free typically.
Yep.
So, what I'm saying, a lot of people, again, right now, big brains on this stuff are saying this is an excellent way for a very tiny investor. I'm talking about something you could take a couple of $1,000, two of your 10, and do this, and you might end up having $4,000 in another year on top. You could double that amount of money if you're and have fun with it. And it gets you involved in your, you know, in your own portfolio, you start taking a little bit more attention as to what's making you money, what's maybe not gaining as much
That's
or as fast.
It's all predicated on the market doing well, though. So, which
but,
I know
well, but a lot of these apps really do help you. They're there to help you.
You can make money when the market drops, too.
Of course you can.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So the robo-advisor investment is a big trend that I actually think is a really good thought.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I wouldn't take $10,000. Maybe you want to. But you could take some of it. The number one small investment for right now, as of this recording of this episode, that's it. So not my advice. Advice from people, you know, whatever.
Yeah,
other people's advice.
I'd do Bitcoin before I do that.
Well, worthy bonds, same kind of thing. A worthy bond is basically a bond that is almost guaranteed to earn you a decent amount of interest. So you could take $1,000. I mean, you're going to make 5%. You know, I mean, you could take $1,000 and you know, add it. You could take $10,000 and make $500 on top of it, guaranteed.
Yep.
Take $1,000 and make $50 every, you know, every year, which doesn't sound like a lot of money, but it's a tiny thing. It's almost a, it's a diversification of something that allows you. Again, you've got this $10,000 nest now, a year from now, and you could make it $20,000 in a year or two quickly after that without putting anything else into it, let alone what you're continuing to do if you build this up. I mean, you guys.
You buy gold and silver as well. It's not on the list.
I didn't put that on the list because it wasn't one of the recommendations, and I've never really been a fan. I know a lot of people like it. They see a lot of commercials with William Devane and all those guys talking about gold and silver.
A lot of advisors right now are pushing gold and silver.
Okay,
and
I haven't heard that.
Other minerals.
It's relatively safe. It can drop down below the thing, but it is one of those things like a house or real estate where it does theoretically is going to increase over time just from natural economics and inflation.
Well, it's coming from you know, the Financial Reserve and the central banks, and I mean, we just can't keep printing money like we're printing, and eventually we're going to have to move off of it. And
you think?
Yeah.
Okay.
I do.
So anyway, a worthy bond. It's, again, I'm just giving these guys, people, some quick ideas on this stuff, and that's what the episode really is about. It's a very easy, almost guaranteed way to put some money in safely that, again, you're not going to need to touch it, and it's almost for sure going to make you some money down the road, right?
Right.
We already mentioned we had a whole episode on 401ks.
My
opinion is that you should contribute, if you're lucky enough to have somebody that matches, you should contribute the full amount that allows you to get 100% of that match.
Yep.
There are people that believe you shouldn't contribute a penny more to that. Right. There are some people that think it's a great way. Again, it's about the rest of what you're doing with it.
Yeah.
But that's another thing besides that
182. I don't think I would have all my money in the market ever.
Some people might.
I know. Right? I'm just saying I wouldn't, my opinion.
Again, quickly, maxing out an IRA account, these are things where you have a lot of control. And again, it's almost like out of sight, out of mind. You can max out an IRA and you can choose
an IRA be paid out of your checking account without even knowing it.
That's exactly right. You can. So you could have money go into your out of your payroll into a savings or a checking account and have an IRA paid directly out of that. Yeah. Absolutely true.
Yeah.
I said already, I don't know why I have this down here. Yes. I pay off high interest debt, credit cards, loans.
Yeah.
Again, you know, if you went out and you're
Yeah, you have to balance your high interest debt.
Well, if you're one of these, I know there's guys and gals out there listening to us that went out and maybe made some money or had, you know, maybe they went out and they overspent on a car, let's say.
Yeah.
They got more of a car than they probably wanted to or needed to. We've had people have done that, right?
Sure.
They're like, oh my gosh. You know, the thing is you can pay that down.
Yep.
Get rid of that, make a better decision next time. But I'm saying anything like that that's high interest or you're overpaying for something, you got to focus on that first.
Yep,
because
definitely.
It doesn't make sense to make 5% when you're paying, you know, 20% on something that is a bad loan.
If you're making enough money to save $192.31 a week and buy down loans, you're doing really well.
Telling people just do that 192.31 because
right.
just forget about it. I mean, that's just my opinion.
I love the next one.
Well, the next one was kind of, it's one of the things you're big on. Go ahead and talk about it.
I just don't think people really understand how it really helps you to make extra payments on loans.
Tell them what it is because we haven't said it.
That you're going to buy down your loans if you make extra payments. So we have a monthly car payment. We have a monthly house payment. We have whatever.
Again, we didn't say. What I'm talking about is automating and increasing the frequency of your.
I was referring to increase frequency.
Right.
I mean, automating is fine. You're going
to
get a discount.
I know, but we didn't. So, you didn't hear it, but we never actually said it out loud to the people. So that's what I'm trying to say.
Well, I was making the point of the increase the frequency, and then I was going to do the. You wanted me to start with automated.
No, I just wanted you to tell people what we're talking about because you were reading it and you hadn't said it out loud.
You obviously we set up. Car payments automatically, right? Usually, most of us do.
Right, monthly. Once a month, you get your car payment together.
And then what I don't think people realize is that if you just paid every week towards that car payment, you're going to buy that down so fast. My youngest just is about to have her brand new $36,000 car paid off in less than a year by just doing that.
Right, so tell our people more what you mean. You have to actually increase the amount you're paying every week. So it's more than what your monthly normal payment would be. But what's wonderful about this, let's just say you have a $500 a month car payment.
Yeah.
Rather than paying $125 a week, you pay $130, you pay $135, maybe pay $140.
Right.
What's wonderful about this is it does balance out your budget a little bit. You're not, I mean, again, if you're lucky enough to be one of our younger listeners that maybe doesn't have a mortgage, or maybe you're lucky enough to be one of our older listeners that's maybe paid off their mortgage or refinanced and it's barely down to nothing.
Yep.
This really does help it. So you don't have, those of you that have a big mortgage payment coming out or a big car payment, and that's all, maybe you're young and that's all you really have, this balances it out. And you'll be surprised that if you increase the amount of money, you're absolutely right. You end up paying off, maybe a 5-year car purchase in a lot less time, and you spend a lot less money on the interest.
You have a 30-year mortgage, and you pay an extra mortgage payment a month.
Mm-hmm.
You have paid your house off in 15 years.
Now, there's a formula for that that's actually shocking, and I should have done that. Mm-hmm. But there's a way that if you make an extra payment, it's not every month.
It's not every month. But
if you make it's every 6 months, if you're able to throw an extra payment, which again, if you were just to pay weekly, last time I looked, there's two extra payments.
Yep.
A year right there. Now you'd have to increase that, but there's a formula that you should check out. How do I pay off my mortgage? You can pay off your entire mortgage in about half the time by just increasing the frequency and slightly increasing the payment. I think where I'm going with this is a lot of people don't know.
No.
I've never heard of the concept of calling your debtor, whoever that is, whether it's a it's a mortgage company or it's a your car financing company, and saying, hey, I got an idea for you. I'd actually like to pay. Have every Friday, the second I get paid, or maybe on a Saturday, I'd like.
They're not going to do that. It's very difficult. You have to do it yourself. I can't even pay ahead on.
Well, it's on the automated thing.
Yeah.
But can call and you can get it done.
You can make a payment, but you're not going. They are not going to. They know that they lose money that way.
They automate it.
Right. So no, they lose money. Yes, they would lose money if you set it up for weekly payments or whatever.
But I've done that, so I've had people do it. So that's why I was going with that. You have trouble with doing that?
Oh, God, yeah.
No, and the mortgage thing, you actually have to just throw money at it.
You do. Well,
which is good.
Same with my, like, even...
All right, so tell our listeners how to do that better, because I've had more luck, it sounds like, than that, than you have. So
you just literally physically have to go online where your payments are made and just make a payment, make a $25 payment towards your car.
So
payment.
Have that set up in your phone or in your calendar that it comes as a reminder,
yeah,
that Friday at some point, after your
money.
Check has hit, mm-hmm. you're going to go on to your payment places, where that may be, and you're going to quickly make another payment, a small amount.
It doesn't have to be a...
Now,
much.
What people should know is you actually have to, in order to do this, you actually kind of have to get ahead.
Here's another trick,
right?
Too.
So you can't wait until your payment's due and then only pay one payment. You have to get ahead of the payment so that you're actually prepaying. So as soon as you made your last monthly payment, the next week, start making a payment, correct?
The other really good trick is if the extra payment is a little too tough, if you just round up. So if your car payment's $453.
Pay $500.
And you just pay even $460.
Oh, I see.
You'll be shocked how quick this stuff goes down. And then you just keep rounding up because your payment will keep going down as you continue to round up. And you just keep rounding up. Get in the habit of rounding up, and you'll be amazed at even how much faster that will buy down your loan.
Every little thing is a good little step. So that's a really good, in my opinion, way to have extra money faster.
Yeah.
You know, I love not, you know, as I've documented before, I own a vehicle free and clear. It's the first time I've had that in a long time, and I love it.
I
don't have a car payment.
I hate car payments.
My son's driving the beast, and it is free.
Yep.
Right? He likes it, so it's fine. So I have a high school kid driving a great truck that I don't have to pay cement mixer or whatever. I don't have to pay anything for it, right?
No, it's there. I mean, my father says the worst thing you could do is make a car payment or a lease payment.
Right.
Like, you're just wasting money.
So that's those are the kind of things that I'm just.
Yeah.
It's we're not getting an investment, but that's one of that thing we have to kind of go. So stocks, you know, one of the things that, again, I have a lot of friends. I have a great friend of mine who retired very young.
Yep.
From Wall Street, oil and commodities broker, in New York. And the wonderful thing about stocks is that
you make money on the up and you make money on the down.
You can if you know what you're doing.
Exactly.
But stocks, people will say, or right now, as of this recording, and I don't want to get political, I don't want to get timely on this.
Well,
I'm telling you, the outlook for 21 for this year is still stocks are looking like a pretty decent option.
Uh-huh.
You got to keep your eye on it, right? That might change. But what you don't want to do, as always, is want to react to the market.
Yeah.
You got to be smart. You got to think ahead of
eggs in that same basket.
No, but I'm telling you, for here's what's wonderful about our little scenario where we've created a $10,000 nest egg.
Yeah.
You could, and I would, my opinion would be, I'd put a little in there. Just to, again, it's all about diversification and it's all about safety. You get this real small, you know, yielding, you know, 5%, you know, kind of worthy bond.
Mm-hmm.
Go a little riskier on something that you'd be believing. Yeah.
You're all afraid of it.
I don't think it's, I got people that it's like.
The more I learn about it.
So here's what I'll explain. Bitcoin guys and gals, how do I explain this? Seem to be like people that believe in marijuana.
Huh.
Have you ever met the guy or gal, maybe not so much anymore, but like 10 years ago, you'd meet somebody that marijuana was the answer to everything.
Uh-huh.
Solves everything. It's all, you know, people that were. Just I know a couple guys, California guys, fixes all ailments. It's like it's like from the Wild West, right?
Yeah.
It's I mean, it comes from the ground. It's healthy. It's everything else.
God made it.
Whatever. They were so like it, nothing. There is no bad thing about marijuana. Well, bullshit. Yeah. There totally is bad things about marijuana, right? There's bad things about most things like that. Bitcoin's one of those things that people that get on Bitcoin. They seem to be like, it's the end all be all. And I'm like, it's almost kind of cultish. I'm like, it scares me because I'm like, you guys are so into this.
No, we've been researching it a lot lately. And
it's an interest to me. I find it interesting.
You got a lot of really good advice about it. I mean, you know, I mean, from not young people.
No, I know.
People our age that, you know, are pretty well versed in it. And, you know, think it's a pretty solid way to
invest. Would you recommend a little bit of money being put toward Bitcoin?
I probably would. A cryptocurrency is what they're called.
Yeah, I know.
You know, so.
But that's the biggest
Bitcoin
one.
Bitcoin is just like saying
FedEx.
Adobe PDF.
Right,
you know,
right. I wouldn't disagree with it. But I will say my opinion is it still makes me a little bit nervous. I feel like there's a chance you could be literally throwing that away, but I don't know. Probably not.
I mean, just, I think, feel it to me, what I've learned, it's the same risk as you're going to find in stocks.
I think that's a fair statement to say.
You just got
to
write it. Everything about everything.
Although I think with stocks,
writing it out.
My only thing would be is that at least you seem to have a little bit more control over the type of investment of a stock you're purchasing, whether it's something you're interested in or something you just believe is going to increase.
Here's my thing. My problem is with the stock market is that I'm investing, especially with like a 401k, I'm investing in companies that may not necessarily line up. I may not like what they're doing, and I don't necessarily want to invest. And I feel like right now the only kind of power that I have as a citizen is my power to be a consumer.
Yeah.
And so I just don't want to give my money to a company that maybe has disgusted me and not know that maybe some 401k mutual fund is like doing,
yeah.
You know? So yeah, I feel like with Bitcoin, I at least have, I'm not investing in a company.
Fair, I guess it's fair.
So I feel like I have a little bit more power.
Okay, real estate.
Real estate.
Yeah.
Real estate.
Yeah, people are, I guess what I'm going to say is that you'd be surprised at, there's some, I mean, you can get involved in real estate pretty affordably.
Yeah.
I mean, you can buy a little rental property.
I think it's very safe. You just have to write it out.
If you had $10,000 of down payment,
yep.
Depending upon the part of the country you wanted to purchase something like this in, you did a little research, you could actually, you know, have a rental property that you could check out. Maybe it's close to your home base. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's somewhere in the middle of the country that you could be going back and forth and checking on and doing repairs to.
Yep.
But I'm just getting it as from a traveler's standpoint, a little rental property,
yep.
That could, you know, for every 10th, I mean, if you could afford the, again, you got to plan the financing out. Can I, $10,000 down payment, mm-hmm. on a little tiny little duplex or a little condo somewhere.
Yep.
In the right economy, the right part of the country where, you know, that could go a longer way, you could make your payment, make even a couple of bucks on it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you didn't, you've got the lifestyle that would allow you potentially to, if you didn't have a renter, you'd be able to, you know, funnel that in there so you wouldn't, yep. get in trouble. I'm saying think about that as an option.
Yes.
And it could be a really good start for some of you to, next thing you know, every year you've got, maybe every couple of years, you got another little property.
Right.
It's a plan for down the road.
Yep.
And it's a good one.
It is.
Because one thing that anybody that knows anything about investment will tell you is that real estate is always...
We're always going to need a place to live.
Right. You just have to be smart about the purchase is what
everybody... And you have to be in for long term.
It's what everyone always told me, right? You, yep. and I were just talking off camera before, yep. we started this about realtors. And you got to know what a good buy is.
Yep.
And again, what's wonderful about rental properties, or I even put down here flipping and that sort of thing. We'll talk about that in a second.
Yep.
Is that... You're not really emotionally involved because you know you're not going to live there. So people, right. tend to make really good decisions on rental properties based upon, is it rentable? You know, is this something that
I'm going to want to live here, and I want to make it.
Can I rent this year round?
I want to appeal to that market.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
You know, you could do the same thing with Airbnb, but I think that you're a little have to be a little bit more involved. I'm not, mm-hmm. sure it lends itself to the traveler's lifestyle. It might. But that could be something down the road, right?
Yep.
You get something that's maybe more in a destination location that you actually could go to, and you could actually rent it out year-round. I know people in California that literally live in their place in the summer for 3 months,
yep.
and make enough money the rest of the 9 months a year renting it out weekly or monthly,
yep.
that they actually have a nest egg coming in from that, and they don't, right. have to rent it out, and they actually can go enjoy it. Sometimes they go, God, we could be making a lot of money in the summertime,
sure.
but they don't do that. They enjoy their place,
yeah.
but they have that year-round, right? So that works.
My oldest bought a townhouse to live in when she was 23. She's now early 30s. They almost have, they bought a house, but they,
yeah.
kept the townhouse and rented it out.
Smart.
They have almost paid it out. It has doubled in
value,
you know, and so it is about to become a massive savings account, essentially.
It's awesome.
For them. You,
right.
know? I mean, and they've been able to buy better and better homes while still having this.
It's
investment.
A perfect example of what I'm talking about.
Uh-huh.
A traveler could figure out how to get,
totally.
A little townhouse, right?
It's easy.
Especially if you're lucky enough to be someone that doesn't have a mortgage payment potentially, right?
Right.
Where you don't have that home.
Yeah.
And for those of you that are in that boat, think about that. What,
definitely.
If I were to take this $10,000? Maybe you got a little bit more. I guess the more you have, the less your payment would be, the more safer it is, to be honest,
yeah.
with you. But it's a really good option. And again, I put down flips because I just find those interesting.
Yeah, I have a lot of cousins that flip.
Well, you and I both are flip watching shows, yeah. Because I like it. I love, mm-hmm. I love actually interior design. I've always told you that. Yeah. It's one of those things, yeah. I've always been fascinated with.
And my little daughter's in interior design school.
So I love the style that most places are going to right now. There's a certain look that a lot of, I don't care if you're on either coast or the middle of the country. But it's interesting because if you're good, you can do this sort of thing. You could actually buy a house, and let's just say, maybe you decide you've got, again, if you got $10,000, and maybe one of you, maybe your spouse, your partner, whatever, has the ability to be able to do some flipping. I can't tell you how many people have a partner or spouse that sometimes is not a healthcare provider,
right.
That sometimes travels with them. What if that, make that son of a gun stay at home and fix up a house, right?
Or even imagine you go to each new location and you find a flipper that maybe could be completed within 3 months, sell it, move on to your next
So
space.
The game there is obviously you're jumping on a mortgage payment, and the idea is that every month that goes by, you're making that payment.
Yeah.
You're also investing income into that property.
Yep.
So there is a definite timeline that you want to get it done, and you got to get sold, and you have to be at a break-even point.
Yep.
But I like the idea of, there's a lot of men and women, and I'm just being sexist, a lot of women that travel, that their spouses, their husbands travel with them.
Right.
And I've had, I can't tell you how many, I mean, dozens of people have said, and he always tries to find, like, he's retired maybe.
Sure.
And he's looking for something to do, and he finds an odd job here. Well, is that the best thing? What if he was, what if he found someplace that maybe from the last assignment, and he said, I'm going to stay here and turn this, right?
Yeah.
And we're going to do it. I'm going to be the one that's going to be, contracting this out and doing a lot of the work myself. It's an option that could be a good thing. We don't have to talk about full-blown wall removal. We could literally talking about some paint, some aesthetics, and some staging.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
exactly.
Yeah.
Ripping up some carpet. I mean, it's amazing what you do for a very small amount of money that could add tens of thousands of dollars of investment equity into a piece of property that you could do in 3 months, or you could have your partner or spouse do in 3 months. So a really good example. We actually have an episode coming up called Side Hustles. I don't know if you know that.
So we should not go too into this.
I don't even know when it is. I haven't seen it, but it's got to be in that. I don't think it's this season. It's got to be the last season, or maybe it is this season.
Oh, I don't pay attention to that.
It's in the future.
Yeah.
So I don't want to spend a huge amount of time, but side hustles
are a thing.
They're a way to make money. They're a way to invest in yourself. You can, again, there are nurses I know that do certifications.
Yep.
They're everywhere. Next thing you know, hey, call Sally for a certification.
Or, health products.
You can make money on social media by helping a company with their social media, whether it's, just scheduling postings and that sort of thing. I mean, there's creative ways where you can say, listen, I'm off 4 days a week here on this assignment.
Get a YouTube channel and monetize it with your adventures.
Ta-da, right?
I mean, there's a lot of opportunity.
When are we going to start monetizing this? Never? Never.
I want to, but...
Never. But social media, again, people take their hobby, jewelry. I've had
jewelry making
travelers that have, they go and they on a weekend, and they schedule themselves off, and they're a couple of towns away that there's some little booth that they've rented.
Farmers markets, fun stuff.
That you can, again, you're just creating some more income in your investment.
Yep.
It doesn't have to be a stock. You could actually be taking time and effort, a la house or hobby flips, or doing something as a side hustle to increase your net worth.
Yep.
In other words, I get you guys get burned out. I get things sometimes are a little
cerebral.
I'm like, I just need a break. But if you focus, man, I'm telling you, if you're a little bit driven, the things you can do are insane. Lastly,
there is
online nowadays.
High yield
savings account. They're online.
I'm sure.
So what I said when you said something earlier about don't just put money in an account, I said, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
However,
not
if that's all you can do with your $192, and you just don't have any ideas, you don't have any energy, you don't want it, you're too scared to do stuff we talked about or nervous. I get it. You can find online places to put that $192 a week that are outside of your savings that actually can generate some interest for you. Most savings accounts, you guys know, don't.
No.
Most checking accounts don't. But there are some higher yield. I mean, higher yield, I'm talking about, a yield in general. But they're all online. You're not going to get that from a bank, a walk-in bank.
No.
But do some research, and there are some higher interest online savings accounts that you guys could take that money, put into, if nothing else. Do that, right?
The point, as always, is we're just trying to inspire you and encourage you to increase your life.
Well, I guess, three
the
things.
The betterment of your life.
First of all, you guys make a lot of money. Start recognizing that. And I know a lot of you guys do, but yeah. Say, you know what? I make more, a lot more money than the average person in our country. I mean, a lot more.
Yeah.
It's wonderful, right? And I've always said, one of the things I do love about travel, the travel industry, is that you get to see people that typically don't make the kind of money, make the kind of money. You and I are trying to make them make even more money.
Yeah.
It saddens me that over time, it seems like agencies are trying to take more of your money from you or keep more of it before they pay it to you. And, you know, that's supply and demand. That's economics. It'll bust. Those companies, you know, again, you guys are going to be smart. You'll go to the companies that pay you more. I think you should. Mm-hmm. The companies that pay you less, you're going to have to change or they're going to go out of business. That's going to be a natural attrition of the time. But recognize you guys make money.
Yes.
Right? Then secondly is put
it
away.
Smart about it. Yep.
Well, hide it from yourself if you have to, or if you're not that kind of person, I'm not trying to insult people. If you don't need to hide it, then don't, but put it somewhere so you can start to build that up. And then once you have something, I mean, unfortunately in our country, you kind of do need to have a little bit to be able to put into something. It makes, that's why I went through that exercise of getting the $10,000 so that you had something. It's hard to invest $192 a week,
sure,
but you can start to save it and build it and you can make some interest on it. Mm-hmm. So that when you have something, it gives you some options on how to take that now to a different level.
Yeah.
And literally, whether it's a robo-advisor or actually going out and buying a rental property in a year or two, it doesn't matter. You're taking now that, and it's extra unordinary income investing.
Extra unordinary.
Well, it's extra income.
As opposed to extraordinary.
Right. It is extraordinary. It should be.
It'll be like, we should end right now on that.
Yeah, we are, but we're
it's
going
extraordinary.
To.
Extraordinary.
Guys, as always, we appreciate this. I hope this inspires you. You guys, you guys got this, man. I'm telling you, you guys have this. Enjoy the income you guys make and do something with it. You'll thank yourself for the rest of your life. When you're my age and older, you'll be so happy that you did this. So
when
go
you
out.
Have money left over from
and
your kids
and lastly,
college education.
It's not too late to start.
Never.
I don't care if you
Never.
Are my age.
Never.
You can change the rest of your life today. So go do it, guys.
Do.
We appreciate it as always. We'll talk to you next time
like,
on Travel Insiders.
Hit the bell, please. Bye.